Turn to page 181, the old hymn, Blessed Assurance, 181. Three hundred fourteen.
The authority of Murfreesboro Missionary Baptist Church, I baptize this my sister in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. By the authority of Murfreesboro Missionary Baptist Church, I baptize this my sister in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. By the authority of Murfreesboro Missionary Baptist Church, I baptize this my sister in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.
By the authority of Murfreesboro Missionary Baptist Church, I now baptize this my brother in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen.
By the authority of Murfreesboro Missionary Baptist Church, I now baptize this my sister in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. By the authority of Murfreesboro Missionary Baptist Church, I now baptize this my brother in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
We are thankful for these three brethren, or these three that I've been privileged to baptize, and for the other three that Brother Bill has baptized. They'll be changing clothes along with myself. We'll ask that Brother Brad and Brother Sam conduct the service until we can get out front for you. We'll be out as soon as we can.
If you weren't moved by that, then you need to be saved. What a glorious day. This is the result of a lot of prayers, I believe, that have been prayed round about here, at home, in different places. And if you're unfamiliar with this scene, nobody was saved in this water today. The salvation in their souls took place before they came to this. John was by the river baptizing one day, and there came those to him and wanting to participate. And he asked him, he says, "Well, give me an experience of your salvation." One writer said, Brother Key, he said, "Ye as lively stones are built up a spiritual house." So there were some stones placed into the building, in the framework. And the Bible says it fitly frames together. It all works together. And I'm so thankful that we were able to participate in this and of the joys that we had during the revival and to hear all of these tell of being saved. And there was another one that was saved, and our brother Ben over here, and he was baptized during that revival, and his grandfather is a old-fashioned Baptist preacher, and we granted him the authority to conduct that baptism, so that happened earlier, but we want to welcome each one of them to our fold, and let's pray for them. Let's gather around them. Let's encourage them. Let's uplift them. Let's lift them up to God, and that they may be stewards for him long after I am dead and gone. I'm just so moved by what I just saw here. God bless you. Thank all of you for coming. And if you're visiting, well, you're a special guest here, and we want you to take part in the service today. And in a little while, we'll have a word from Brother Ricky, if the Lord leads that way, and while he's getting ready. But we want to begin each service, as we normally do, with a prayer. And maybe you have a prayer request or a praise or some other word upon your heart before that we would call upon somebody to lead this prayer. Is there anything at all on your heart? Brandon? Okay, let's remember this request. There were others that were seeking the Lord during the meeting and at the conclusion of it. And let's don't wait till next year revival to pray for them. And I would encourage them to pray on their own, to pray now. The Lord could save you right now, right here in this place. He could save anybody once they meet his condition of calling on him. He saves by his power. He saves by his regeneration of that spirit through the Holy Ghost working in places down deep that we can't imagine, we can't even see. But we feel it and we know it. Appreciate this request. Is there any other? Okay. Remember this, her daughter. Just remember those of our congregation that couldn't be here for sickness or for other circumstances. And let's pray for them that the Lord will grant them what they need in their hour of need. Is there anything else? I don't want to worry your patience, but we'll give you time. Yes, sir. member of the Snodderleys, as Brother Key said. Let's remember this. Anything else? All right. Remember this. This friend, Memphis, has had a stroke. I found out a few years back that I thought that only people that were more elderly suffered strokes, and my mother fell victim to that, but she's still with us, thank the Lord. And there may be others here that suffered similar circumstance, but there was a young lady that I knew, she was in her mid-20s, had a stroke. So nobody's immune to that. Let's remember this. Anything else? If not, let's all pray. We'll call on someone to lead and start the prayer at this time, but I'd like everybody to pray. Brother Tom, would you lead our prayer, please?
This time we will receive our tithes and offerings. This is for our members. This is not for our visitors, but if you'd like to stand, as the ushers come forward and pass the plate. Amen. We're going to swap songbooks, turn over to the favorite gospel songs you'll find in your pew. Turn to 204. We had a request for this morning, 204.
Thank you.
Really good singing today. Let's turn over to page 78. Page 78. Let's see, what was I thinking about doing here? Let's do page 84. Page 84. This will be our last song this morning, Lord willing.
Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. Maybe we can settle down now, or I can anyway. It is good to see everybody here today. We are thankful for all of our visitors today. I want you to just make yourself right at home with us today, and I pray that God will give you a great big blessing today. Those six being baptized, that was a great big blessing, and I know many of you came for one or the other, and I'm thankful that you did. That's a good thing that you did that. You supported them in this time, and I know some of you have been waiting a long time for that privilege, and I'm just thankful that you got to witness that today. And we want to be prayerful for each and every one that's here today, but especially for those that are unsaved. We always want to pray for them. I know Brother Sam has made mention of that today, but I want us to keep that on our hearts. One of the things that I brought forth after our revival meeting, we had a blessed meeting in these six souls that were saved and the seven that joined the church, and it was just a great big blessing in that. But after the revival was over, I counted up, and there was 15 more that were here at one time or another during the meeting that didn't get saved. And so that means we've still got a lot of work, and that's on my heart, and I want us to keep that on our heart. Before I get started, anybody got a word upon your heart? If not, take your Bible and turn to the 28th chapter of the book of Isaiah. 28th chapter of the book of Isaiah. We're going to give you one verse from here, and I'm trying to give you just a minute to get there, but I want to thank you for all being here. Some of you went for a lot of time and hard work just to get here, and I thank you for that. We're reading today out of the 28th chapter of the book of Isaiah, and we're reading verse 16. Verse 16, it says, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion," and I want you to get this word, "for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste." Now, that word "for" does mean something. It makes that word "foundation" even more particular, I guess is the way I want to say it. It is a word, the foundation. If you know what a foundation is, and I think most would understand that, but maybe some of the younger ones would not understand this, but when they built this church building, they leveled the ground, first of all. They got everything prepared to a certain place. And then they came in here and they dug what they call footers. And in that footer, they dig down into the ground and they pour it with concrete, a solid run of concrete. And then they came in and this church has a concrete floor and they built upon that foundation is what they did. But the strength of this church and what it is, it's right at these outside walls. That is the foundation. Not the walls themselves, but that which is down in the ground. It is a solid stone. This stone that we're talking about here today is even a greater stone. Now, I have a rock at home, and it's in under the ground. Parts of it is out, and I remember years ago, and I'm going to tell my age, when that I grew up with an outside bathroom, we'll say it that way. And when my mother and daddy decided to put in an inside bathroom, you have to put in what you call a septic tank. Well, they got a man up there to dig that hole for that septic tank, and he got down about, I think it was about 2 feet. Well, actually, at our place, it was about 1.5 feet. And they hit a rock. And he said, "Well, I'll take dynamite and I'll bust that rock." And he went in there and he drilled holes and he packed it with dynamite. And he shot that off and it didn't crack it. He said, well, I'll get it this time. And he said, I'll load it heavier. And he did that again and again. Now, later years, he just get, basically what I'll say is he gave up, and we had a septic tank that stood up just a little bit higher out of the ground. We filled in around it is what we did. Later years, when Paul and I moved up to the, were getting ready to move up to the house, we proceeded to do the same thing, and the men that I had hired to get that hole, they said, we'll get through it. I told them the story, and they said, we'll get through it. We have a septic tank that sets up a little higher than everybody else's. It's a solid rock is what I'm trying to tell you. It is very solid. I don't know how thick it is exactly, but it is a solid rock, and my house basically would be sitting on that rock. Now there's, we'll just say, it's sitting on that rock. The Bible tells us, Jesus doing the speaking, he said, build your house upon a rock. And when he was talking about that, he was meaning, make sure you have a sure foundation. Now, listen out of the book of 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, if you want to turn there right quickly. And I read this last week. I've never been a preacher of series, and I didn't know it was going this way. I didn't know it last week, and I didn't know it today until this week, how this message was going. But we're lining up just a little bit. And basically what I want you to read with us here today, he says in the Paul writes in the 3rd chapter of 1 Corinthians, 10th verse, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. I read that last week. But he says in the 11th verse, and other foundations can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, that is the foundation that Isaiah was talking about. It is Jesus himself. He is the foundation of all things in this world. He is the creator. He is God. He is God the Son, but he was there at the creation is what he was. Now, getting back to our thought today, and the main part of our thought today is building on the foundation. Yes, building on the foundation is the main part of our thought today. Yes, Jesus is that foundation. I talked about the foundation around this church house and how this building sets upon that foundation, and it's what keeps it steady. There's many times that people have foundations that are not solid, they're not true. You'll see the advertisements on TV where they'll talk about, if you have foundation problems, we can fix it. And they'll say, it cracked, it sank, it did other things. I want you to know, first of all today, the foundation of everyone that is saved by the grace of God today, you have got a foundation that in Jesus Christ that is not going to crack, it's not going to break, it's not going to sink, but Jesus himself is the one that's going to hold you up. But it is up to you how that you build on that foundation. I've heard many stories about the building of this church house, and sometimes I scratch my head. Being in that kind of business for a little while, I wondered, why in the world did they do that? How did that contractor, why the architect, whoever was involved, why was they doing such things? But there is a fact that is important. When you build a building, a house, or anything like that, you consider the cost of it. Actually, Jesus said that in the book of Luke, that you consider the cost so that when you get so far, you run out of money and you can't finish the project. I've seen that over the years, how people could not finish the project that they had started. Houses that got so far, and I can take you to some that have just rotted down today.
Because they stopped building. They didn't consider what they're doing. As you are building your life today on the foundation of Jesus, and this is where that I want you to get the idea. You're building on that foundation. You need to consider the cost of it. Now, I want to give you an idea to put in your heads today. As you're building on this foundation, Jesus has paid the cost. He has. He's paid the cost for you to build on there. He paid the cost when he died on the cross of Calvary. But it's up to us to build as the Lord would will us to do. One of the things that I learned in working on our house years ago was there was some people that had to be involved in there. And there was one that had to be involved. And that was the banker. In this case, Jesus paid the cost. Thus, he is the banker. You start out on that foundation, and he's got a plan for you to build your life, to build it in such a way that it is not only going to be glorious for you, but it's going to be glorious for him. You know, I've talked to bankers over the years, and one of the things that they do and say, hey, I helped build that house. Maybe it's not so much so in these days, but I remember hearing them over the years, they'd say, I helped build that house. I gave them the money for it. I helped them to do that job that was there. Now, what I'm trying to tell you, Jesus is the one that is going to be helping you in this building today. He is the one that you need to listen to as you're building this in this time here today. I want you to see today that it is a very important thing that you build as you are led by God, as he has instructed you to do. I remember the first thing that I did when we was going to remodel our house, I went to see Mr. Paul Hackett, the vice president of Citizens Bank. And I went to him and I just started talking to him, telling him what I wanted to do. And we had figured thought about it, how much it was going to cost. And he said, let's double that. It'll take it. No, Mr. Paul, I'm pretty sure we can do it. No, you want to make sure that you have enough, is what he said. I had a wise banker. I want you to know today, you have a wise banker in Jesus Christ that is trying to lead you to build your life the way that it will make it a beautiful building in his sight. You remember when God instructed David to get everything ready for Solomon to build that temple. He had everything ready that was set there. He had everything, the gold, the silver, the brass, everything in place. He was that banker. He was a type of Christ, wasn't he? That he gave them the blessing, Solomon, the blessing of having it prepared. But there was work that had to be done. There is work that we have as a child of God that we should serve the Lord in a certain way. Whether it is by just doing here, being here at church, that is part of the building as a member of God. God doesn't expect our new converts, our new church members, to come in and sit down in this church house and know everything about this Word of God. If you do, you know more than I do. Do you understand what I'm saying? We do not learn it all at one time. We do not take everything in about the work of the church, but you are building on that foundation today. One of the first things that every builder will do when that he builds a church or a building is he'll come along on that foundation and he'll make sure that it's squared out to the very best of its ability. And then he'll go through and he'll lay down that first board, is what he'll do, or block, whichever kind that you're building. But he'll lay down that first one. The first thing that you built today is for these six that were baptized today and the two that were baptized earlier. You know what happened? You laid down that first board. You did. You laid down the first board of serving God. And the Bible tells us to be baptized and to follow the Lord in that baptism, doing as he did. That's what the scripture is telling us to do. And you have followed that today, you that have just. But there's others who have not followed what God had instructed them to do. You're not listening to the banker, are you? You're not listening to the banker is what you're doing. And you're arguing with him. Well, I can do for you just exactly, and I can build a house that will please me and you both, and it'll be all right. But he's telling you how to build your house. And he wants you to join into his body is what he wants you to do. I want you to turn with me, if you would, to a book of Ephesians, second chapter. Book of Ephesians, the second chapter. And what he says, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Preacher, where are you going with this? You need to be on a first name basis with your banker. Yes, you're saved. Yes, he saved you. He knows you. But what the scripture tells us, we know his voice, but the best way to get to know his voice after that you've been saved is start talking to him. You join the Lord's church. You follow him in that way. Talk to him on a regular basis. You go in to that office with Jesus Christ and you just talk with him about your needs. Talk to him about what is necessary. Talk to him about the things that you're doing in this day. Listen to what he says and don't put it out the other ear. You ever do that? Let it go in here and go out the other way? We're all guilty of it. But be a citizen and a fellow citizen is what he's saying with the saints. Now I want you to get that part. We're knowing who Jesus is, but we are also learning that these people that are here in this body are here for each and every one of us. I have been in this body now, I guess, close to 2.5 years. And I'm still learning who you are. I'm still learning about you. Now, I can point out different ones here, but I can guarantee you there's some that's right over here that doesn't know that much about some of these folks over here. And what he's saying to us is part of building is getting help. I've seen people try to build a house by themselves. I have. I've seen them try to build. I've done it myself. Nothing major. I'm not a good carpenter. I'm going to tell you right now. When it comes to getting it square, it's going to be oblong is what it's going to do. But the idea is I had to get help when I started. And these brothers and sisters that are here are going to help you build. You know, I grew up in a day and age in the farm country. Basically, is what I'm going to tell you, that when it got time for neighbors to put their crop in and we were not busy, we went and helped them. You know what they did? They came and helped us. Some of them, truthfully, they didn't have to be asked. They just see us in need. They knew the rain was coming. They'd stop. They'd come down there into the field, start picking up hay bales, throwing it up on the wagon. They'd go to the barn and put it in there. They was building is what they were doing. A friendship, a fellowship. a neighborly way. And when those men were in trouble, we went too. These people that are around you are people that's going to help you build. And you may think, well, I don't really need that much help, I really don't need that much help. I can do it myself. Years ago, it was a man started building a house and there at home, and he started the house off, and he was doing it all himself, as money allowed. He didn't go to the banker. And he got up so far, and he finally got it framed up and got the rafters up finally. When I say finally, they were turning brown already, or gray, if you want to call it that. He didn't ask for help. You might say, well, what does that hurt? Later on, he finally got the subroof on it, the boards and everything, getting ready to put the plywood and the shingles on it, and he ran out of money. And what he ended up doing was he lost the house. Some other guy came in, and he basically decided he'd do the same thing. He bought it off the man, and he decided he was going to do the same thing. And he built it, and he started it, and he got it. Look, folks, I went into that house, and I'm no carpenter. I told you I'm not. But some of the props, the walls as it was, they had a gable ceiling like this one. And they had it propped up with a 4x4 that came down on a wall, and the board was hanging over that much. And you say, what does that matter? And they didn't have it nailed either, by the way. If some kid throwed a ball right good and hard, I can imagine Rowan having enough strength to take a football and throwing at it, it would have knocked it out, and that roof would have done that. We're talking about building your life. I don't usually preach these kind of sermons, but we're talking about building your life on a true foundation. You've been saved. You're on that foundation. You started building. You've put the first ones in. You've gone to that banker, and you keep working, and you keep trying to get to that place that you need to be in. You keep trying to get there. And what I'm going to tell you today is that it is in the house of the Lord. That's where you'll find your banker most of the time. Because when you get out into the world, you know what you'll do? You'll start thinking about this and that. You'll think about the other things that are going on. You'll think about the football games, the basketball games, the work, the kids. You'll think about other things. And when you come into the house of God, what you can find is God. If you look for Him. I've told the story different times, and Brother Brad, I'm going to try to wrap this up pretty quick. I've told this story about the lady that told me that she recorded every church service. And I just thought she wanted to record the sermons. Then she told me the reason. She said, when I'm sitting there in church, she says, I'm thinking about, well, we've got to get this ready for dinner today. Did I cook the roast long enough? Did I get the potatoes right? Or did I do this? Then we've got to go do this. And then I've got to do that. If you'll come in this church house and you'll let those doors close, the world out there. Now the Bible tells us when we pray to get in a prayer closet and shut the door. I'm trying to tell you today to shut the doors to the world in your life. Why? Then you'll find peace. I'm not talking about your salvation. I'm talking about you finding a calmness. Every one of you has got a place that you go when the kids have drove you nuts and got you in such a predicament at home, you're ready to pull your hair out, and then maybe your husband walks in and you take the kids now. Right? Right? Maybe it's in the car. Maybe it's somewhere else. But you find peace. What I'm trying to tell you, you find peace in this building when you shut those doors. So that you can get right with God. You can go to the banker and talk to him about your building. You can talk to him about the things that you need. And you can talk to him about the blessings. Now let me give you one more verse and I'm going to try to wind this up. Brother Brad, you can stand just a little bit longer, can't you? Let's look at verse 32 of the book of Acts. The 20th chapter, excuse me. Acts 20 and 32. This was a time when Paul was in, I believe he was in Ephesus, and he had called for all the elders especially, all the preachers around them, to come in and just meet with him because he was on his way to Rome. And they figured out something. There was a prophet to come along in there, and he said, he bound Paul's hands. And he said, this man is going bound to Rome. And he told him, he says, he's not going to return. This is what Paul was basically saying. Now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. You may not look at it today when you walk into the church house. You may not look at it as this is my inheritance. Most of us think about inheritance as a lot of money, a lot of land, a lot of things that we can lay our hands on. Hey, if y'all got brothers and sisters, let me inform you something. You're up for one big fight. Seen it too many times. That vase that mama had that you think that you want, I'm gonna guarantee you there's somebody else in the family that wants it just as bad as you do. And they'll put up a fight. That inheritance will go away. I've got a sister-in-law that saw everything that she had as far as what you would call an inheritance that she was going to leave for her children go up in flames. And when I say everything, they found one little old cheap safe that had about two dozen pictures in it. All of these things are going to go away. But what I'm trying to tell you is the inheritance that Jesus can help you build is a great big inheritance. And what the Bible tells us that moth and rust will not decay. It will not ever burn up. It's never going away. What he's trying to help you to do today is build you something that's going to last forever. And you might say, well, is it house? The Bible said, Jesus, doing the speaking, said, I go to prepare a place for you. I go to prepare a place for you. You start out by getting on the foundation. Then you start building. You start watching as the things that you do for God starts just making this beautiful building. You see the work that you do.
and how that it just becomes a beautiful, beautiful thing. You six that got saved this past month, that was my inheritance. That's part of my inheritance. The fact that I got to baptize y'all, that's part of my inheritance. What's your inheritance? What is your inheritance? I hadn't thought I'd do this, and this just comes to mind. I'm going to close it out with this, and this is for the church and everybody else. This is an old joke. You've probably heard it before. And I kind of feel bad closing it out this way, but I think it fits. There was a man who died, and he got up to heaven. And St. Peter, as they call him, met him at the gate. And he started showing him around heaven. He went and he showed him the throne. Then he showed him a house, a big, tall, golden mansion. And Peter says, "This is my house." "Really? Wow." Went on around, and there was another mansion. He said, "That's John's." Went on around, and he saw this one and saw that one. Saw all these beautiful places. And he said, "Sir, what's my place look like?" He got all the way around to the back of heaven. And there was a little bitty shack, as he called it. And he said, "I don't understand. Everybody else got these things. Why didn't I get one?" He said, "We built with what you sent up." Now, I'm not saying that's the way it is. That's not scriptural. But I want you to understand today, God's building your inheritance. And he's building with what you send up. Thank you for your attention today. Thank you for being here. Brother Brad, while we sing, everybody stand. Oh, wait a minute. I need to do one other thing here. Excuse me. I know we got a big crowd, but we always extend to our newly baptized members the right hand of church fellowship. For you that are visiting here today, we'll allow you to just extend the right hand of Christian fellowship. I want to call all of our candidates, all six of them, if you would, come right up here in front and allow everybody to pass around. I know we've got a good crowd, and if you don't feel comfortable with coming around to shake hands, don't worry about it. But everybody that will come around and shake hands with these candidates, all of y'all come up here today, if you would. And what I'm going to say is, boy, ain't they a pretty bunch. I'll say it in advance. I got everybody up here? Brother Brad, while we sing a couple of songs, everybody that will, please come up and shake hands with them. Extend to them the right hand of church fellowship and of Christian fellowship at this time.
393.